You'll see on your notice sheet that I've titled this message this evening, Going Against the Grain. I suppose it could just as easily be called Swimming Against the Tide. I remember reading an article about a lady who had swum the English Channel. I'm still not quite sure why someone would want to take up such a challenge, but she did. If you know about the English Channel, and anyone who's tried to swim it or is thinking of swimming the English Channel, you can't just set out at any old time of day, because the tides and the currents in the channel are such that if you don't set out at the right time, the tide and the current will be against you, and there's absolutely no way that you would make it across. No man or woman is strong enough to swim against some of those tides and currents. And so you need to set off from the beach at such a time as the tides and currents are most likely to be in your favour, so that as much as possible you're swimming with the tide and with the current rather than against it. And this lady recalled how she set off at the right time, but the swim just took longer than she thought it would. And she remembers being roughly three quarters of the way across and shouting out to the people on the support boat alongside her, "How far now?" I'd have been asking that after about half an hour. But she managed three quarters of the way, roughly. "How far now?" "About 4 miles," she was told. Well, she could kind of see the end in sight. She dug deep, ploughed on, and on, and on. And then, convinced that there can't be far to go, she asked again, "How far now?" 3.5 miles. Oh, she remembers how her heart sank. "There's no way I'm going to make it. The tides and the currents are coming against me." Well, make it she did, but it took more than twice the length of time that she envisaged it would. And she arrived completely exhausted, really not knowing how she possibly managed to complete that swim. She really found out what it was like to swim against the tide. Key themes that we read about all through the Sermon on the Mount, if you're familiar with it, as the Lord Jesus talks about what the conduct of a Christian believer ought to be like. And it becomes very clear through the Sermon on the Mount, and if you've been a Christian for any length of time, then you will know that before you were saved, in your sinfulness, it's just like you're going with the sinful flow of the world. But when you come face to face with Christ, and when the Holy Spirit works in you, and that saving work of God's grace comes into your life, he turns you around and stops you from going the way you used to go. And now you're going in the opposite direction. And in many ways, it is as if we are now going against that flow of sinfulness. And it seems that we are now in contradiction to everyone else around us. No one else seems to be going that way, but you know you must. And many of you will know some of the struggles and difficulties that that can often bring. And yet at the same time, know the Lord's sustaining grace and his strength that sees us through. But before Jesus can begin to speak at all about our conduct as Christian believers and what some of the things are like in terms of going against the tide and going against the grain of the world, he talks first of all in these opening verses of Matthew 5 that we know today as the Beatitudes, those verses that all begin with the word blessed. Quite short verses, most of them. He talks about what the character of the Christian man and woman must first be. And we're up to verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I think you'll see that in verse 7, there is something of a turning point in the Beatitudes. Because up to now, in the first four verses, verses 3 to 6, Jesus has been talking very much about our relationship with God. It's about being poor in spirit before him. It's about mourning before him over our sin. It's about having a meekness towards God and his word. And it's about that hungering for righteousness that we realise we need and that we can only have in Christ. And so it's very much, those opening verses, about me and God. And it's the character of the Christian man and woman in relationship to God. But in verse 7, as he begins to say, blessed are the merciful, we begin to see that also now the Lord Jesus has to have an impact in the world. And it's actually going to affect our relationships with the people that we're with in the world. And not just about our relationship with God. It talks about those who remain pure in heart in the midst of a sinful world. Those who are peacemakers in a world of trouble and strife and so on. Blessed are those who are persecuted. The actual antagonism that comes against you in the world. And so verse 7 kind of marks a bit of a turning point in the Beatitudes as Jesus explains how our Christian character needs to be ready to stand in the world. Blessed are the merciful. What a test this is for each one of us. That we should be merciful. It begins with our character. This is what every Christian man and woman should be like. Merciful. The Christian character. Now let me just say that as we consider these verses and these very specific things that if we're Christians, they affect us all in a very real and personal way, don't they? These are real testing things that Jesus is bringing to our attention. These are things that search me out. These are things that are not always very comfortable to be confronted with. But the Christian man and woman realizes that they are nevertheless essential. It's essential that we allow the scriptures to examine us. It's essential that we hold the scriptures up like a mirror and allow the word of God to read us and show us how we truly are in our real state before God. And we allow the scripture to do its work within us. Those who are truly of this Christian character are humble before the word of God. They don't resist it. They don't fight against it. And that's what all of us are called to do as we come face to face with all of the scripture, but especially these kinds of things where it is so clear cut and direct and the word of Christ comes straight into us. And Jesus is emphasizing that for every Christian, before we consider what we're doing, we need to consider the kind of person that we are. The gospel puts great weight upon our attitude before it does our actions. What is our attitude like? It's who we are as Christian believers that is much more important than the things that we do. The things that we do are important. And that comes out in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. But it begins with who we are in Christ. If we're truly born again, we will have this changed nature. We will be given this new, different character which goes against the grain of the world. And that's what Jesus is starting with in the Beatitudes. To be a Christian is to possess a certain type of character. It is to be a certain type of person. And as we come to consider this verse 7 of Matthew 5, this is a challenge for us this evening, for each one of us. Are you this type of person? Is this grace evident in your life that you are merciful?
The Apostle Paul said, it's not I who lives anymore now. It's Christ who lives in me. And so Paul's conclusion is that as a Christian believer, it's about God now being in control in my life. And so it's not about me as a natural sinful man trying to control my attitude and trying to make myself more Christian. It's about realizing that the Holy Spirit is now at the very center of everything in my life. The Holy Spirit now controls the very core of my being. And He's changed me. He's given me a new nature and a new character. And Jesus is emphasizing this, and it's really important that we grasp it. The Christian faith is not just a veneer that God sticks on the outside of us. It begins inside, it begins in the heart, and it comes out from the heart. And that's what Jesus is concerned with in these opening verses that we know as the Beatitude. What is your heart like before God? Because if your heart is not right, you can forget the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, because you'll never do it. None of us can. How is your heart before the Lord? And we need to remember as Christians that every day we are declaring to a watching world who we actually are. And every day this week, and for some of us actually it'll happen right at the end of the service as we talk and fellowship and converse with each other. It will happen when you go home and you mix with the rest of your family perhaps, or flatmates and people you share accommodation with. Perhaps it'll be tomorrow morning as you go to work or to a place of study or wherever it is that your daily routine takes you. In every situation that you find yourself in, you are declaring to people who you are. You are declaring to people the kind of character that you have. And the Lord Jesus wants people to see in all of his saved ones, here is a man or a woman who is poor in spirit. Here is a man or woman who mourns over sin, their own sin, all the sin that they see in the world around them. Here is a man or woman who is meek. Here is a man or woman who is actually concerned with what is right in the eyes of God. Here is someone who deals with me mercifully. Here is someone who deals with me with mercy. Is this the kind of man and woman that you are being in the world? Is this the kind of Christian man that I am? That people actually are seeing these character traits in each one of us. That's what Christ is talking about in these opening verses. And we all must examine ourselves before the Scriptures and before God and realize that if there's anything in this that is not as it should be, if it's because we're trying to do it ourselves, well, that's a waste of time. But we actually need to be in Christ and under the control of His Spirit. We're all declaring every day the kind of person that we are. And here the question is, are we merciful? Well, what does Jesus mean by that? Well, let's just think first of all. What it doesn't mean is that we're all just happy-go-lucky, easy-going, and we don't really bother about anything very much. It doesn't mean that at all. The person who's merciful doesn't think lightly of sin. That's not what it's talking about. The person who is merciful doesn't say to someone, well, you've broken God's law, but it's not that important and it doesn't really matter. That's not what being merciful is. And being merciful is not about a natural disposition. Some people are just naturally more merciful towards others if someone wrongs them. They just seem to be able to take it somehow, whereas the person sat next to them would be jumping down that person's throat if they'd done to them what they've done to this one. Some people have that more natural disposition, but that's not what is being talked about here either. Because the gospel is not the gospel for people who have a certain temperament. If you've got this kind of temperament, then you're more likely to get saved, or you're more likely to be pleasing to God. It's not about having that natural tendency just to be, well, just more merciful and able to put up with things. That's not what it's talking about. Let me just remind you, when we think about what it is to be merciful, that mercy is a quality that we speak about concerning God. God is merciful. And so when we think about mercy, we must realize that we're talking about something that we see in God. And so if we have a very flippant view about what mercy is, then we're saying that's also true about God. So we need to be really careful about how we define it. Because God is merciful. But he's also righteous. He's also holy. He's also just. So we need to be careful how we think about mercy. Well, what is it? Well, the Apostle Paul, in some of his letters, if you're familiar with the letters that he writes, he often begins talking with a salutation, and he says to people, grace and peace. But in his pastoral epistles, he often includes the word mercy as well as grace and peace. When he writes to Timothy, grace, mercy and peace are included. So there's obviously something that connects them for the Apostle Paul to use them together in that way. Mercy, grace and peace. Here's a definition. Grace is especially associated with men in their sins. Mercy is especially associated with men in their misery because of their sins. So we sing with the children, grace is when God gives us the things we don't deserve. Mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve. Mercy looks upon us in our misery of our sin and doesn't treat us as we deserve. Mercy looks kindly upon us. Grace pours out things that we don't deserve. Mercy deals kindly with us in the light of what we do deserve because of the miserable state that we're in our sinfulness. And so when we are called to be merciful, there is a big clue as to the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. That we actually have a concern for the state that people are in. And it also moves itself to action. It moves itself into action. Now, have you ever had anyone do something against you that perhaps was unjust? And a circumstance arises where you find yourself in the position where, if you choose to, you can actually get back at that person for what they did to you. How will you respond? The Christian shows mercy. The Christian shows mercy. The Christian goes against the grain because it's in our character not to want to revenge and retaliate and all those spiteful, hurtful, destructive things that are in every sinner. We go against the grain now Because our character and our nature has changed. We have a merciful spirit towards others. Now, suppose there's a picture of mercy in the Bible, in the parable that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Here's the guy, if you know the parable, most of you will. He's walking along the road, he gets robbed and mugged, severely beaten up. He's left at the roadside for dead. And two people come past, both of them, men who work in the synagogue, religious men, and they see the guy in his poor state and they choose to cross over the road and walk by on the other side. And then someone else comes across, a man who's a Samaritan, he's not expected to have any good in him whatsoever, and he stops and he takes pity on the man. But not only does he take pity on the man, he's moved to act. And he acts on that man's behalf and he takes care of him. And he makes provision for him. And that is being merciful. The greatest example that we have of mercy, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Son of God. Who came into this world. Why? Because there is mercy in Christ. And he came and he saw us in the misery of our sin. And he did something about it. He did something to rescue us from the misery of sin. He did something to change the situation for us. And that is mercy. And that's the kind of character that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling each one of us to have. And so Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now the big problem, of course, with this, is that what we tend to do is read it like this. If I am merciful, God will be merciful to me. And so we read the first part of the verse, blessed are the merciful, as something that I must do, and the second part of the verse, for they shall obtain mercy, as my reward. If I do this, God will do this for me. There's a problem with that. First of all, that's not what is being taught. We'll come to that in a moment. But listen, the Bible talks about forgiveness in exactly the same terms. It says, if you will not forgive, then you will not know God's forgiveness. So it uses forgiveness in exactly the same terms as it does of mercy. But listen, if the Bible is actually saying, unless you forgive, God will never forgive you. Who in this room can honestly think that they will achieve God's forgiveness? Who here honestly thinks that you can forgive to such a degree that God will think you are now worth forgiving? Who can think that that would be them? My hand would never go up. If my forgiveness from God was dependent upon how well I forgive everybody else, I don't stand a chance. I don't know about you, but I don't. So what's the Bible saying? The Bible is teaching that we forgive because we are already the forgiven. And Jesus is saying, we are merciful because we are already the ones who have obtained mercy. Now we read that little section in 1 John where the apostle is talking about love and having love for the brethren. It's 1 John 3:17, whoever has the world, this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now he's saying exactly the same principle, but he's talking about it from a different point of view. What John is saying is, look, if you're someone who claims to have the love of God, but you don't behave like this, then you clearly don't have the love of God. Because people who have the love of God behave like this because their character has been changed. Because their nature has been changed. And so because this is true of you, you will now be like this. And that is exactly the same way that Jesus is talking about this aspect of us being merciful. If you have obtained mercy, then you will be at peace as one who is merciful. Because God has made you merciful. Because God has given you that new nature. God has given you that new character. And so you will continually be receiving and benefiting from the mercy of God. Because that is the position in which you are now. And because of the position in which you stand, you will be merciful. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked down at these wretched sinners who were doing such terrible things to him, and he said, "Lord, forgive them, because they do not know what they're doing." When Stephen, the first martyr that's recorded by name in the scriptures, was being stoned to death, he cried out, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them, because they don't understand what it is they're doing." He had this great heart of mercy and compassion, because he already was living in the light of God's mercy towards him. That's what changed him. That's what gave him this new nature. And when people treat us terribly, we respond differently now. We go against the grain. David in one of the Psalms says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And what he's saying is, if I'm someone who loves sin, if I'm someone who's clinging on to sin, if I'm someone who is still holding on to sin, then I'm a man who doesn't actually know God's forgiveness, because I'm a man who's never repented of my sin. If I've got a heart that's harbouring sin, then I haven't got a repentant heart. And if I haven't got a repentant heart, then I can pray all I like to God. But unless I first come to him in repentance and faith, he's never going to hear me and answer me. Because I don't have the right reality within my heart. And that's all that Jesus is talking about as he goes through these Beatitudes. Do you have the right reality in your heart? Are you someone who's already living in the light of God's mercy towards you? If you are, then you will prove it and show it, because you will be merciful towards others. There are many people who work in humanitarian ways in this world. Many of them are not Christian people. And in the eyes of the world, they do good. And they provide relief and help in so many different ways. But they're not being merciful the way Jesus spoke about it here. Why not? Because they're missing out on a very important thing. When people who are not believers are simply giving humanitarian aid, all they're dealing with is the earthly and the temporal. But the Christian man and woman are concerned about the spiritual state of the people that they deal with. And it's because of their spiritual state that they are merciful towards them, because their heart goes out to them and it sees them in their great need of salvation and in their great need of Christ. And that's one of the things that drives the Christian man and woman. They see people as God sees them. They see people as Christ saw them, as he was hanging on Calvary. These people who are in need of forgiveness, and they are in need of mercy themselves. And so that drives the Christian heart as well, and that has to be in the character and the very fabric of our being as Christian men and women, that we have compassion for people in their lostness. And this mercy comes out of us, it flows out, because it's the mercy of Christ towards desperate men and women. It's the kind of mercy that we see in God towards us. Now, he's still a God who deals with sin. He He's not a God who's turned his back on sin. He's not a God who's turned a blind eye to sin. He's not a God who pretends sin isn't there anymore. But he's shown us great mercy. He's treated us with such kindness. And Jesus is simply saying, if you're a man or woman who has experienced that mercy and that kindness from the Lord Jesus Christ and from your Heavenly Father, then you too now should be imitators of that same mercy. And God calls us to go against the grain. In a world that just cries out for revenge and with bitterness asks for justice, the Lord asks us to demonstrate that heart of compassion and mercy that we see in Christ towards us. Not that we're soft touches, but that we have this merciful spirit. Just as God has shown us mercy, people see the difference that that makes. So the challenge is, as we talk at the end and have fellowship together, as you go home, perhaps some of you go home to situations where people who you live with are very antagonistic towards you as a Christian and very antagonistic towards the gospel and towards the Bible and anything to do with God or even anything to do with religion. And perhaps you'll face people like that in the world throughout the course of this week and the circumstances that you're in. And God calls you to demonstrate the changed character that God has given you in Christ. He calls each one of us to show ourselves to be different. And one of the things that he calls us all to be is men and women of mercy. Just as Christ has shown mercy to us. And initially, it's not about what we do. It's about the kind of person you are. The kind of character that you have in your heart, Christ-like nature, feeling for those who are lost in their sin, longing that they too would know the peace and the rest that you have found in Christ, that they would have that too. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's just pray. Father, we are humbled and challenged before your word. And Lord, we are faced with the very character and nature of God himself. And we realize, O Lord, that work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and that great change that is required. Lord, the scriptures are so clear of the great change that is brought about in the heart of every man and woman who truly has turned from their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, we realize that there is this a complete change of direction that comes about because of your work of grace and salvation in our hearts. We pray, our God, that each one of us might, in the power and grace of your Holy Spirit, demonstrate that new nature that Christ has brought, and that, Lord, we might do so to your praise and glory. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.